What a wonderful kind of day. What a wonderful kind of day. What a wonderful kind of day. What a wonderful kind of day.
But yeah, so okay, so if you say that, mm-hmm. and then I'll say something like, how it works is we, you know, we've watched the episode beforehand and we're going to go through it bit by bit.
Yeah.
And then you can then say, you know, written by the title, written by blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, okay. Because otherwise you're going to have to launch straight into it after the kids comment. And...
Oh, that's true. Actually, yeah, you're right. Yeah, yeah.
So I was just trying to think of something I can say.
Perfect. We're such professionals.
Oh.
We're just getting into the flow, aren't we? It's fine.
Getting into the chat. It's all cool. Yeah. It's all good. Okay, yeah. Right. So, hello and welcome to the second episode of What a Wonderful Kind of Day. My name's Jen Beju.
And I'm Harriet Notman. And in this podcast, we look at each episode of the children's TV show cartoon Arthur. And it's definitely not for kids. So if you're letting your child listen, please pull them away, put them in another room, and you can listen to it as a grown adult.
Exactly. And so how it works, we've already watched episodes beforehand, and we're just going to go through it bit by bit and hopefully create a mental picture for you and point out some of the weird things that happens in each episode.
So this is the second podcast episode for us, where we're looking at the second episode of Arthur 2A, because as you know from watching Arthur, each episode is broken up into two different mini episodes. This one is called Arthur and the Real Mr. Ratburn. Its original air date was the 8th of October 1996. It was written by Joe Fallon, storyboarded by John Pagan and Norm Rowan. And yeah.
There we go. So I don't think we can really begin this podcast without acknowledging the weird circumstances in which we are recording
it. Oh, we have to talk about it.
Because episode one, we were sat in Harriet's front room, having some nice drinks, having a great chat. And now we're recording it over Skype because we're both in lockdown.
That is true.
But we're still able to do it. It's all good. We thought a podcast episode would, you know, give people something to do in these bleak times.
It's not, well, I don't know, is it? Is it too bad? Are we, well, I'm okay. Are you okay?
I'm all right. We're in, well, it's week three for me, week four for you, isn't it?
Ugh, yeah, I've nearly been doing this for a month.
It's crazy. And we don't know how much longer it's going to be. Hopefully, if we listen back to this, like, you know, in a few months' time next year, it'll be all a distant memory.
Or actually, maybe by the time I've edited it, because I've completely forgotten how to edit a podcast, so maybe by the time I've edited it, we'll all be back to normal and this will be a distant memory.
Exactly. I mean, to give you an idea of what time frame we're recording it, it's Easter bank holiday weekend. Mm-hmm. We've been sitting out in the sun, having some drinks in our respective social distancing locations.
Yep. My front yard has never looked better.
I know. We've got a bit of a trip out to the front yard. Look at you. Mm. I've been on a trip out to my balcony. But now, I don't know about you, the sun's gone in for me, so I'm quite happy to sit inside.
Yeah, same.
Do some podcast recording. I've just had some alcoholic jelly with some jelly crystals.
We have to tell our listeners that you're obsessed with making alcoholic jelly. Like, there's, I think every time Jennifer has come to my house, she's made some amazing alcoholic beverage shot, and she is excellent at it, so... Yeah.
Thank you very much. Normally, like, it actually works really well. Like, you can do, I did pineapple jelly and coconut rum, like some really good combos. But now I'm working with the remnants, the scraps of what I've got. So I've got really horrible synthetic sweetener raspberry jelly with amaretto, and it is so sweet. But, you know, it's getting me drunk without me even realizing it. So I'll take
that. That's not bad.
Pretty good.
I am drinking a Brewdog Punk IPA, which we got on our allocated one shop for essentials per week. And don't worry, everyone, me and Jen have just been talking about this. I did not go out just to buy beer. My partner went out to do a full shop in which we also bought beer alongside many other key items for food and to,
like,
eat.
Alcohol is definitely a key essential item for lockdown.
Along with everything else, yeah.
Oh, I know. I don't think I could get through. I hope whoever's listening to this podcast during lockdown has got a drink in their hand.
Please have a drink in your hand at all times. And if you don't drink, have some other delicious beverage. And I would recommend Budweiser's non-alcoholic beer, because that's very tasty as well. Not that we are sponsored by any of these, but if Brewdog or Budweiser want to sponsor us, I will not say no.
Do you know, we're aiming high. In episode one, we were like, hey, Specsavers, do you want to sponsor
us? Oh, yeah! Actually, to be fair, one of the things I'm buying after all this is over is a new pair of glasses and a new pair of sunglasses prescription, because, yeah.
Yeah. Do you know what? I'm the same. This is very off. We have to cut this out of the podcast. But just as general chit chat.
Everyone loves boring chit chat at the start of things. And also, it's quarantine. What else do people have to do?
Exactly. But I've discovered that my prescription sunglasses are broken. And so the lens keeps falling out. And I can't buy new ones. I've not got any glue to glue them. So I'm just holding my head very still when I wear them, basically.
No, that makes me really sad.
But, you know, I'll get some when it's over, won't I? It'll be fine, not an essential, so it's all right. No one can see me anyway. I live on my
own. That's true. I just think, like, I think I had for years people being like, oh, prescription sunglasses, you live in England, what's the point? And I'm like, this is the best thing I've ever spent any money on in my life.
No, because what we do before, I was constantly swapping them over. I couldn't go outside with my sunglasses on because I couldn't see anything. It's just life-changing.
It is life-changing. Sometimes
you don't get the reaction ones, like, you know, a 55-year-old geography teacher. I think,
oh, my God. I know, loads of people I know that have them, but then they don't realise that obviously it's UV reactive, so it works in winter, so you have sunglasses on in the winter, obviously, because it's UV reactive. But, like, yeah, it was. I feel like that's a massive flaw. Like, who was, yeah, this is not for England. This is for, no.
Anyway.
We should probably talk about the podcast, but I mean.
Arthur. Episode 2A.
Yeah. I mean, what a better show, really, to watch during these difficult times if you just want some happy nonsense, something just to watch to, you know, really distract you from what's going on at the moment.
Yeah, exactly. I think we've both said it before, but when we were at university, Arthur was like our happy, well, we weren't there together, but in our respective university locations, before we even knew each other, Arthur was very much our, this is very depressing, I'm going to sit in bed and draw the curtains and watch Arthur to get me back to a happy place. So hopefully this will do a little bit of that for other people too. And if you want to, you can always watch the episodes before you listen to this, but hopefully we'll go through the plot enough detail that you'll know what's happening.
Oh yeah.
So Arthur and the Real Mr. Ratburn. Mm-hmm. This shows my level of excitement. I was excited that finally we're getting to Mr. Ratburn, who's a key character.
I know. Didn't we say in our last podcast, where is he? And then we didn't realise that they were in like a different year at school or something, or they went back in time. There was that weird, like, Arthur gets glasses and we went back in time and it was all very confusing.
The time frame of these Star Trek episodes is really bizarre, because now he's going to join Mr. Ratburn's class and essentially be in that class.
Yeah,
forever.
When he was in it before. Oh yeah, that's true. He's in it for like ever. Yeah.
Well, there's some sort of sense of time passing in these episodes that wasn't there before, and we assume that they must have had like their summer holiday, which we haven't really seen.
Oh yeah.
That must be September, right?
Yeah.
And so it opens with Mr. Haney, the headmaster or principal, I guess, and he's putting a list on the board, isn't he, with the names
that's
of.
What I've got. Yeah.
And I don't remember this at primary school, like. Putting the names of who's going to be your head teacher.
But
your...
this is America.
Yeah, but so weird, isn't it? Like, in the class, why did you have to... It's like announcing who's going to be in a play.
That's true. That is true. It is weird.
Don't they tell your parents?
Mm.
Anyway, so well, we meet Mr. Ratburn and everyone's reaction.
So I noted down the three teachers that they could have got, because do you not remember at the start they run through, like, there's a teacher called Mrs. Sweetwater.
Exactly.
So if you didn't hear that, everyone, Sweetwater, who's supposed to be nice. There's Mrs. Fink, who's fun. And I think it's weird that the first two are like shown as or given the, you know, they're women or presumed like that's at the start. And then Mr. Ratburn's the tough, scary man, which that kind of. I just found all that a bit like, what is going on? Where are we going with this?
Oh, exactly. It's like female teachers are nice and they give the kids cookies and they do fun dancing. But the Mr. Ratburn is obviously the mean one because he's a man. Like, there's a common theme throughout all of Arthur, isn't it? It's all very like stereotypical gender kind of roles. And like they say, Mr. Ratburn is so mean. And in the clip there, all he does is ask them to name some oceans.
Oh, I know.
Like, they are so... whingy little baby. He's like, Mr. Ratburn asked you a very basic piece of information that you should know.
Yeah,
there's only seven of them, guys. Like,
but because this didn't happen to me at primary school, but do you remember like going up through the years at primary school and just dreading the teacher that you might, because we had two halves almost in primary school, so there was two like receptions, two year twos, and you didn't always sort of know which teacher you'd get when you progressed up the year. So did you have that when you were like, oh my god, I hope we don't get like this person for year six or this person for year five?
I guess so. I went to a few different primary schools, so they worked in different ways. I think when we got a bit higher up, it worked like that, especially when I went to year six. Mm-hmm. We got split into three. Mm-hmm. But I guess because you only interact really with your teacher, so you don't know what the teachers are like, do you? So they're all a bit scary and all a bit of an unknown. Mm. But I think I was always quite lucky and got the teacher that I liked, so it worked out well, I guess.
Okay.
And I forgot the rat.
I was going to say, like, I think year six at my school, we got a very, very strict female teacher who I was not a fan of, even though I like never really did anything wrong. She was just very, very harsh. And the guy next door was also a bit more chill, but quite harsh. And I remember just getting to year six, like your final year of primary school. And everyone was just like, oh, my God, this is exhausting. Like, who are these people? I remember having a really cool guy in year five with a glass eye who, like, would not let anyone. Do you ever, like, sit on a chair with, like, one leg underneath your butt, basically?
Yeah.
Like, he taught us all off for doing that and had, like, this little funny joke about being, like, a one-legged person, which is obviously not very good. But, like, he made us all, like, sit properly. It was very, like, a cool old-fashioned teacher guy, and he definitely dressed like, I don't know, obviously no one I know has been to Vietnam, but he looked like someone who's been to Vietnam.
Like, the weird backstory. It's like Indiana Jones when he goes into the class and then you don't know where he's been over the summer.
Yep. Basically.
Oh, I see.
So yeah, I felt like I vibed with this episode just because I was like, I know what it's like. Be the teacher that you get.
No, well, I didn't, because I was in six north. There were six north, six south, and six tropics.
Oh my god, what the hell is going on?
And six tropics had Mr. Story and everybody. Ooh. Like, they were the fun class. They were the Miss Sweetwater of the classes. Yeah. And I was six north, which was medium level fun, and six south was the Ratburn's class, basically.
Oh, wow.
So I got off well. I was very happy with my teacher. I think she probably was strict like yours was, but I was just a bit of a swot, so she liked me.
See, I can't remember my strict teacher's name, but I remember Mr. Bracken, I think, was our really cool year five teacher who wouldn't let you sit on one leg. And then we had Mr. Cutting in year three, and he played guitar all the time to us, and, like, we sang songs with him. It was like, it was a very, year three was a very magical time, I remember. Aww. It was a good year. Though I do remember never breaking the rules, but I came in one day. Do you remember, did you have those bangles that had, like, gel inside and glitter?
Yeah.
So we weren't allowed to wear those at school, but I did. One day I was like, fuck it, I'm going to break the rules. And I remember wearing one to school and hiding it, like, nearly the whole day. And then one of the, like, bitchy little girls in the class with me got told off for hers. And she was like, Harriet's wearing one too. And I got mine taken off me, and I was just like,
little snitch.
Fuck you.
It's drilled into you all the way through. Don't be a snitch.
Snitches get stitches.
Yeah, the worst kind of person in a class. Oh my god. I mean, well, I'll stop talking about my teachers now, but I have to just mention the one teacher who, as soon as I started in the school, he went off with depression and never came back, which is a shame. But his name was Mr. Willie.
Oh no. Really?
His name was literally Mr. Willie. It wasn't even a joke. That was his name. And he was like, you know, he wore it as a badge of honour. He was like, it's not Wiley. It's not Wilson. It's Willie. It is what it is. And I just think he got ripped so much that he couldn't even. He came, he taught like the first week of class and then just left.
Was this in primary school?
That was year five.
Oh, Jesus. That's harsh.
It's brutal. Like, you just don't even choose that as a job, Mr. Willie. You know? Go work in the Navy or something like that. You just.
I think you'd maybe, I don't know. I don't know what the Navy's like. Somewhere where you don't need last names. I don't know.
What's that? An assassin? A model?
I love how you're like assassin and model, as if those are the only things you can do without last names.
Yeah, like Madonna. I know she's not a model, but something like that, you know.
Okay.
Anyway.
Moved off topic.
Exactly. So they get put in Mr. Ratburn's class. They find out.
Yeah, they say, Francine says, Arthur, we're in the rats class.
I mean, it makes you start to question it, right? Because Mr. Ratburn is obviously a rat.
Yeah.
And it's called Ratburn. But yeah. It's not like Arthur's called Arthur Aardvark or Francine Monkey, whatever she is.
Oh, yeah.
So they call him the rat, but they're literally just, you know, to describe what he is.
That's like the human burn. The human.
And burn.
Yeah.
Like, the logic in Arthur. I don't think we made it. It's Mark, whatever his face is.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, Mark. Let me just... I have Wikipedia open.
I want to say Mark Reed, but it's Arthur Reed. So Mark who? Mark Brown? Mark Brown.
This is great. We should leave all of this in.
We'll just cut this bit out.
Oh, yeah, it is Mark. Mark with a C. Mark Brown is the guy who did the illustrations.
Yeah, so it's not their fault, is it? It's Mark Brown's fault because he's the one who named Ratburn in the first place.
Okay.
But yes, they go, the rats class, and they all scream with terror because they're going to actually be educated for once.
And then there's the title card, and it's the first time we see Buster roaring, like the pretend, the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer lion. Yeah. And here's some facts. So Leo the Lion from MGM. They had seven different lions, all called Leo. Only the current lion, used since 1957, 62 years, was actually called Leo.
Oh, my nephew's called Leo.
Oh, of course, Leo the Lion.
Oh. Well, there's also a line that, so I just wrote down in capital letters a mansplainer, because Francie goes, we're in the rats class, and Arthur goes, are you sure?
Oh, I missed that.
Like, and it comes up later in the episode as well. He does it again, so I'll mention it when it happens. But he can't just believe he's watched her read it off a piece of paper. How can she even get it wrong? And he's like, are you sure? I have to check for myself.
But didn't this happen in the last episode as well with, like, it I can't did. Remember if it was the one where he had glasses or Francine's bad hair day, but didn't people keep questioning her? Yeah. And she's like, I've just told you. Like,
yeah, that happened. Yeah, exactly. So she's just there to be put upon by Arthur, who is just the worst guy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, anyway, so we have the title card, don't we? And then,
yeah. I've got cuts to still screaming. So they scream throughout, like, pre-title card, post-title card, still screaming. Oh, that's what you said. Arthur thinks Francine's read the list wrong, but she's right. Then they're playing baseball, I think, or some yeah. kind of ball game.
Yeah, baseball, that's what I've got as well. And they are just chanting in a monotonous way.
Oh my God, like rat zombies.
Ratburn.
Yes.
Rat-burn. Which I guess we're meant to take as they're traumatised. It's just a very strange scene.
Yeah, and Francine's doing the same in soccer. They do the same walking past an ice cream shop, which, I mean, at some point we need to talk about the ice cream shops, because there's either two, or they change the front of them throughout, because there's like one brain works in, yeah, spoilers, exactly, everyone, yeah. way later, and I don't think it's the same one. Oh, they get free samples offered of Rocky Road, all you can eat.
All you can eat? That's not a free sample, is it?
No, but also it's pink, and like, I know you get marshmallows in Rocky Road, but Rocky Road is brown, it's chocolate. Oh,
the people making this show do not give a shit, do they? No. They're like, sure, it could be pink, I don't care, it's ice cream. But no, you're right, at some point we need some sort of map of Elwood City.
Yep.
Because, yeah, I've got some more shop names coming up later. Yep. The shop next door is called Jack's Jokes.
Yep.
Actually quite a good attempt at naming for Arthur, because yep. some of them are even worse later on.
Yep, that's true.
But they're so traumatised that they miss out on their free ice cream is the point that Arthur is trying to make, I guess.
Yeah.
Just
and then I think Prunella comes into it,
yeah.
which I don't actually know what kind of animal Prunella is. Have we discussed this? Is she a poodle or is she a rat? Or what
I
is
think
she?
She's a rat too. Like, there's lots of repeated animals and animal yeah. shapes. Like, they only have like five at their fingertips. That's yeah. all they're allowed to draw. So I think she's a rat as well. Unrelated to Mr. Ratburn though.
Yeah, seemingly. And then they seem to ask her, is the rat bad? Because I presume maybe Prunella's had, because Prunella's older than them.
Yeah,
and then her response is, does a bull fight? Which I was just like, what? What?
I think that's the PG version of Du Bear's shit in the woods.
Oh, but it's like such a
sarcastic.
But it's so random.
I know, it depends on the child. Like, you know, what, you're 8 years old, you're watching Arthur, knowing that bull fights are a thing?
Yeah. I wasn't a fan of that line.
Well, you know, Prunella's very rude and sarcastic anyway, I think, as it comes across later, so.
That's true. Then there's something about where she goes on to say, like, never answer any questions wrong or he'll send you to death yeah. row. And then instead of imagining death row, which, I mean, obviously would not be great in a kids' cartoon, but Arthur just imagines, like, a medieval prison. Or something, yeah. And I'm like, where did we jump to? Why have we jumped here? You're imagining a prison that
dramatic.
Literally would have existed in America. Like, it's not there.
I know. So he imagines the prison, and Mr. Ratburn is like, here's like 5 million math tests for you. And then once you're done with those, another million spelling tests. And it's just such a rudimentary version of what school is. Like, it's not just math tests and spelling tests, is it? It's
no.
With actual stuff to be learned. They're just so afraid of basic schoolwork. They're so pathetic. Like,
yeah, also, like, it seems like none of them actually do that badly or are bad kids, because this is the magical world of Arthur. So, like, what are you actually, it's this like trope, isn't it, of like, oh, we all hate homework. But and also, though, I never actually got homework in primary school, thank God. I think homework should be banned in primary schools.
Absolutely.
So yeah, just kind of, obviously they're trying to put across a storyline and stuff, but I'm just like, meh. Well,
I think we got things like words to learn for spelling.
Oh,
I used to
yeah.
get like comprehension things when you would read a book and then do a little yeah. booklet about it, but it was never,
it wasn't like homework.
It wasn't like this, was it? Yeah.
I don't think I ever had to write a report in primary school.
It is weird. I feel like the writers of the show have not been to school. It's like cobbled together from like what they've read and what they've watched on telly and not actual true school. That's what, yeah, that's what fiction is, isn't it? It's not,
yeah,
have to be true to life.
Again, but they're trying to do like an American school, aren't they? And I don't really quite get that, because don't American schools start at like 7 in the morning or something?
Do they?
Oh, they start way earlier than us, and I think they're more into like their not school sports, but like, you know, extracurricular activities like debate and all that. So yeah, they start way earlier than us. So maybe they do have to work in primary school.
Because they do like Model UN, don't they, and stuff like that. AP physics. I don't know what AP means, but AP physics.
No idea.
Oh well, I can imagine that we have zero American listeners. So
you don't know that. Someone might be listening. Hi,
hello,
Americans.
Hello, America, well,
specifically North America. Hi there.
Yeah, hello. Okay, so Arthur's on death row, and then Buster starts imagining a vampire.
Oh yeah.
Mr. Rabin's a vampire and he has hypnotic magic powers. Mm-hmm. I don't know, I was like, I'd watch that. I'd watch vampire version of Arthur.
Oh my god, of course I would.
It's a better TV show right there.
Yeah, instantly.
Oh, well.
Instead of Buffy, just Buster, and it's him fighting vampires.
just being scared. But they're scared of vampires rather than schoolwork.
Yeah, definitely. Ugh. And then I think Prunella just says, well, good luck, in her sarcastic way. And they go back to the classroom. And Ratburn enters and says, welcome to grade 3. So I guess we know what grade Arthur's in.
We know that now, yeah. And it's actually, like, he's got flowers on his desk. He's got such a lovely manner to him, a lovely voice. I mean, I have to say, by the end of this episode, I've changed my mind. But when I watched it originally, I wrote, like, I would actually date him. Like, I would swipe right for Ratburn.
On Ratburn? Oh, no, I wouldn't. No, no.
He's a teacher. He's well-dressed.
He's a primary teacher.
That's true. I did go on a date with a primary school teacher once. He was very nice. So, you know, it's not an instantly bad character. He's not the monster they're making him out to be.
No.
He cares about getting them, you know, getting results and them learning. He's giving them a test. So he says to them, we're going to start with a 2-minute test.
Oh my God, see where you were. I would be so sad. I would suck.
Well, it's just, to me, that's like how you teach people, isn't it? It's a 2-minute math test to see what you learned last time. He's trying to, you know, set the bar for his class. He's doing a good thing and teaching them properly, and it's 2 minutes, guys. They're so pathetic.
I have to say, I'm very pathetic, and I would be so upset at a 2-minute math test.
Well, they look out of the window and they see the other class and they're dancing and they have popcorn and they have a little rap that's like, school is cool.
Oh yeah, that was bad.
But that is bad. That's what they wish they had with Mrs. What's-her-face, Mrs. Sweetwater.
Yeah,
but they're not learning. They're eating popcorn and they're doing a rap. So if I was a parent, I'd be like, yes, I do need to be in Mr. Ratburn's class, thank you very much.
I guess, yeah, but that's the thing, like, I think, like, Ratburn, this is me getting into teaching now, he needs to, like, support his learners, and whoever is at whatever grade needs to help them improve. It shouldn't just be like, oh, you got a C, that's bad. It should be like,
yeah, exactly, yeah.
So, and I don't think he's always like that, which I don't think a lot of teachers are, so, like,
that's true. But he doesn't really tell them off, though. Do you know, scared of getting things wrong and being told off, but we've got no evidence.
That's true.
They're just soft touches.
Mm, yeah, they're mollycoddled. That's what's happened.
Well, they are mollycoddled. Yeah. Oh, dear. So, after the 2-minute math test, they leave the class, and you see the other class with the popcorn. Basically, you know, the children that are allowed to run wild just stream out of the class, just into the corridor. And Mr. Ratburn makes them queue up in alphabetical order. Arthur's not in alphabetical order, so he doesn't get told off. He just gets asked, why are you not in your alphabetical position, Arthur?
But then people laugh at him. It's all very strange, isn't it?
It is, like, you know, it's not that he didn't know. He's not stupid. He's just done it a bit wrong, and they all laugh at him. So. Yeah. But I remember having to do things like that, like, you know, when the bell rang in the playground, the whistle got blown, we had to queue up.
We had to queue up, not in alphabetical order, but we had to queue up.
Yeah, it's teaching you boundaries and, like, spatial awareness, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, that's the one thing. So I work in university, and sometimes that really gets me, is that you have students coming from school who are used to, like, hanging around the corridors. They're used to that way of moving through the space. Mm-hmm. But in the adult world, you just got to get yourself from A to B as quick as possible without banging into people, no loitering, no amassing in groups. Basically, the skills that you're now employing through social distancing and staying away from people is what you should be doing in your workplace.
That's true.
I was very pleased to see Mr. Ratburn do this. I was like, yes, that is how you leave a room correctly. You don't just all spill out because you don't know who's out there, who you're going to give the virus to.
We need an Arthur quarantine episode now.
Exactly.
Oh.
Okay.
So they're playing baseball and Binky's up, Binky Barnes. And he says, boy Robin's tough. He gave us homework on the first day, which, yeah, I guess that's what he does. And then Buster, I think, replies with something like, we're not dealing with a human being here. This is serious. Does he say that? Have I written that down right? Because he's not. They're not human beings, are they? They're animals. But
yeah, it's they never quite nail it, do they? Like, they refer to themselves as, like, Buster gets referred to as a bunny, as a rat, and yet they're also boys and girls and men and women. It's just both ways, isn't it? It's just that's the anthropomorphic. Is it anthropomorphic?
Yes. Yeah.
That's the world that they're living in, isn't it? So.
So then there's this kind of this pointless conversation that happens, and then Binky hits the ball into the bushes. And then you can overhear Ratbur saying, I think he says, hello, this is Mr. Ratburn, because I guess that's how he addresses people. There's no first name. And he says, I have all the eyes I need, but I'm all out of heads. So we can all see instantly where this episode is going now.
Yeah, and it's boys' heads especially, isn't it? It's not girls. Yeah. He needs boys' heads. And this is one of my favourite moments of the whole episode, like in terms of what it looks like visually, because then you've got Arthur and Buster. Mm-hmm. I know they're children, so we're not going to go too far with this, but they're on their hands and knees, crouching behind the bush, and the camera, like, lingers on their bums.
Oh, does it? I did not notice this.
I mean, I don't know. Whoever drew that particular scene really
went to
detailed.
Town.
They really were like, yes, let's get the body position really accurate. And then Buster still has his catcher's mitt on from baseball and like pats Arthur on the shoulder to reassure him, and it's just a really nice little touch. Like, they were like, well, they've been playing baseball, so of course he's still got his catcher's mitt on, so I really liked that. But the little bum wiggle was...
Wow, I missed that completely.
I'll do a screenshot and put it on the blog, don't worry.
Yes, do it. Oh, and then this is, so I think, does Arthur run off and tell people? But Arthur and Buster scream, and they run off and Francine comes out of the ice cream shop, and I think it's a different ice cream shop. This is where it's annoying me, because there seems to be infinite ice cream shops right now in, where are we again, what is the place? Yeah,
it's just childhood fantasies, you know.
That's true. And I've put, because I've written sugar bowl, how many ice cream shops, exclamation mark, question mark. Arthur fills her in that Ratburn wants body parts. And then Francine says, you must have heard wrong. A vampire doesn't need heads.
Go on.
I was just going to say, I put about, what about Vlad the Impaler? Because he had heads.
That's so true. Yeah, they should be like historically accurate references if they're going to make them.
Well.
I put this down as Francine's revenge.
Because for doubting them.
Exactly. She doubts them. She's doubting them. But she's correct. He doesn't need heads. Do you know what I mean? Spoiler alert, he's not chopping off the heads of children. And she actually nailed it. She points out that they're being, you know, ridiculous, hysterical.
Yeah. Go, Francine. We love you, Francine. And then Arthur says, no ordinary vampire. Buster responds, beyond vampire. Arthur says, what's beyond a vampire? And Buster says, a rat burn. So
that's so dramatic, honestly. They're just amping each other up.
Yeah.
Feeding into the hysteria.
Yeah. And then they see Ratburn walking past like a hardware store.
Yeah.
And then I've put a breakfast in question marks, and I don't know what that means.
It's a very strange joke, wasn't it? So Mr. Ratburn is buying nails or tacks or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
And Arthur kind of sees him and goes, breakfast! Does he think Mr. Ratburn eats them for breakfast because he's such a monster, I think is what they're trying to say.
Oh,
I've written down, Arthur is so stupid, he needs a teacher.
He needs what?
A good teacher.
And then Buster says something like he wants to investigate, and he reads books about detectives. Arthur, being the boring person that he is, says, we have a lot of homework to do. And then Francine says, you're just a fraidy cat. And Buster says, you have to choose, face horrifying, scary danger or do our homework. And Arthur and Francine both say in unison, horrifying, scary danger. And it's just like such a set up joke.
Oh, exactly. It's just, but that's the kind of thing that you laugh at when you're 8 years old, don't you? You know, and
that's true.
I thought there was some good foreshadowing, because later in the series, like as Arthur progresses, Buster becomes super into mysteries and has like a detective.
That's true. Where's the detective coat?
Yeah, because he has that little deerstalker hat as well and the magnifying glass. So that it's setting up Buster's interest and his kind of personality very early on. And it also foreshadows when they, you know, when the I won't go and spoil it because we're going to get there in a second. But when whatever happens plays out, it's interesting to see who is the one who's afraid and who are the ones who are, you know, going to forge ahead and face their fears.
That's true.
So I thought there was some, there's something in there. There's some sort of narrative structure.
There is in this children's cartoon.
Give credit to the writers who are doing a pretty poor job so far. They've tried to do some very heavy-handed foreshadowing to balance out their really terrible breakfast comment.
Oh god, yeah, that was bad. I wonder if they, do you know what, that whole scene actually, now that you've reminded me, because I just wrote breakfast question mark, I wonder if they'd like had to cut something out, or you know, they've done, maybe they make the episode longer and they've had to cut stuff out, but maybe they had to cut out, but they left that in for some reason. I don't,
yeah, like maybe they thought that he like eats the children, something like that.
Yeah,
yeah, because it just makes no sense, does it? So yeah. Oh well,
no. And then we get our first view of, is it the public library or is it the school library?
I didn't know either, because okay, they're both of them feature very strongly in Arthur, don't they, both libraries.
Yeah,
I was, because for listeners, I assume all the people who listen to this know who we both are.
Oh, actually, yeah, a small listen, like, yeah, we both work. Oh, well, no, I think I when we started this, I wasn't working in libraries at all now, and I'm still not, so I'm a library deserter. But well, you still are working in libraries.
I still work in libraries, and you are a qualified librarian.
We're both qualified librarians. So.
We know a lot of librarians. We are library people, even if we might not be employed by a library.
And I feel like where we've tweeted this, you probably are a librarian listening to this, whether you're qualified or not. So
if you want some Arthur library goodness, watch this episode, because this is a really good insight into whichever library it is. It's very sort of stereotypical, isn't it? It's lots of ye olde books on shelves and... Yep. And I made comment about the librarian.
Oh, what did you say about the librarian?
Well, we see two librarians. So the first librarian has got such a classic look. She's got the bob haircut. She's got the glasses. Of course, she's a woman. And I thought she could easily be either of us with the bob and the glasses. I know so many library people who look like that.
That's true, actually. Yeah, we are quite stereotypical looking.
And then I don't know if there's a scene a few seconds later when the other librarian is pushing a book trolley.
Oh yeah, I remember that bit.
And first of all, I've got to make comment of her look, because she's like this chunky. Do you know, it was a very key period of time when we all had really chunky belts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that went over like your jumper.
Yep, I remember those days.
She's rocking the chunky belt look, but her book trolley. This is very niche library comment. It really is. But we know what our book trolleys look like, with the kind of the slanty shelves on either side. So it's like got shelves, with shelves. And this trolley is just like a Hostess trolley. It's just like one big box.
Oh, you do your back in.
Yeah, with these books just precariously. They're not shelved on the trolley. They're just in piles.
Mm.
As if you would put them on like a dolly or something like that, just piles of books.
Mm-hmm.
And how is that meant to work? Where's the health and safety in that? Oh, yeah, it annoyed me enough to make a lot of comments about that. I wrote, oh, hell no.
Well, if it is the public library or the school library, pretty underfunded. I bet that is like a trolley from the canteen. So
whatever they could find in the skip somewhere, isn't it?
Oh, maybe we should say at this point, A, fund your libraries. B, no one should be in a library right now. It's not essential.
Yes. I think all the libraries are closed.
If we do have listeners in North America. America aren't.
Oh, that's shocking.
Isn't it bad?
Really, it's not bad. Good. Close your libraries.
Close your libraries, peeps. Be smart. Be safe.
But actually, maybe this is relevant for our current times. I made a note of how the kids hold the book over their face.
Okay. Tell me more.
So if you're going to read a book, you're going to hold it in front of you, right, to read. It's going to be lower down. They hold the book artificially up. I'm doing it right now. You can't see me, but I am. Like over their face as like a disguise, as though it's a mask. They just hold it really high. I think that's like how the artists have drawn them. But it's just such an unnatural thing to do, and they're like peeping over the book. Anyway, that's my very specific comments about the library.
I'm very impressed. I did not write that much down about the library.
Hats off.
So this is why I think we were confused if it's a school library or the public library, because for that to be a school library, it's massive, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's huge. And also to have two librarians, or like a librarian and assistant, like it's like that doesn't happen.
No, it's well staffed and too well funded.
Yeah, except for no real book trolleys. But they're spying on Ratburn in, I think, the teacher's lounge next, like they're looking through a glass door.
Yeah, it's a very nice teacher's lounge.
It's very nice, but like again, like So do we think, do we assume that they've left the school library to then, like, it's all cut very...
It's very strange. The time is not clear.
Oh.
What is happening. And how Mr. Ratburn doesn't notice...
Oh, I know. Busts his ears.
Exactly. They're really quite stupid children who have not got any sort of skill of espionage following him around. Or I like to think that he does know. He's just pretending, even though I realise he's not a real person.
He is for the benefit of this podcast.
Exactly, exactly.
And then I've just put, for the next bit, how is Ratburn a PE referee as well?
He literally has so many jobs. And later on, they mention that he does the school newspaper.
Oh, my God, I know.
Like, how does he do it? I mean, we'll get onto it later about the message of the episode. Uh-huh. But he literally, this is why I put him down as being a good date. Because he's got so many hobbies. He's so involved in his kid's career. You know, he's got a varied life.
That's true.
You like to see it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Take note, peeps. Take note out there. And then something happens with Francine outside.
Yes, she is talking about them, like their idea that he's getting the heads. And she makes a comment. And so for each episode, we're going to come up at the end with the message and the moral of the episode and also the best burn of the episode.
Burn alert.
Burn alert. So for me, this was the best burn.
This was a good burn. I've put burn alert here as well.
Yeah, exactly. Should we say it now? Yes.
What are we saying? Are we going to try and say it together, the whole thing?
Oh, no, I just meant, should we mention the burn alert?
Oh, yeah, we should mention it. Sorry, everyone was like, oh, this is so in tune with each other. No, I'm just going to let Jess say it.
Okay. So, oh, hang on. I don't know what I'm saying now. Oh, yeah, so they're talking about Mr. Ratburn getting boys' heads. Well, getting heads anyway. And Francine goes, he must be talking about lettuce, because you get heads of lettuce.
Very close. Top
exactly.
Form.
She's actually trying to use some sort of skills of deduction here, you know, and figure out what he might say, because it makes so clearly more sense, even though it's not true, more sense than him chopping off decapitating children as a mass murderer across.
I mean, that would be a great Arthur episode.
And then just Arthur never comes back. Episode 3, Miss Ratburn decapitates all the children. He's arrested. No more Arthur. Arthur is dead. But anyway, and so they're like, well, Francine, she's like, can't be right, because he said boys' heads. And she said, it's probably the term that grocers use for the rotten ones.
Go, Francine.
Exactly. And then she goes off to do her homework and leaves them. She's like, this is really boring. It's not true, is it? Goes to do her homework. Like a sensible, well-educated young woman should.
Mm-hmm. So okay. I've got Arthur and Buster then see Ratburn wheeling out a large suitcase and an arm falls out of the side. So, I mean, to be honest, what the fuck is he doing?
Exactly. Like,
why is there what looks like a child's body in a suitcase?
And that's very frustrating because Francine just made this epic burn. Like, she's bang on the money. You know, he's not the guy, is he? And then out flops this arm and you're like, oh, no, I don't want them to be right, but maybe they are right.
And then instead of, like, I think Buster gets scared and says maybe we should go do our homework. But then they decide to follow Ratburn to the carnival. Now, if you suspect anyone of being a murderer, I recommend you, like, tell your parents or the police. Like, I don't recommend that you follow you as young primary school age children follow someone who you think is a murderer to not, like, the scariest place on the planet, a carnival.
Well, exactly. They really were like, what's the creepy thing we can add in here? Oh, no, I know, clowns. Let's mm-hmm. go to the carnival. And this is what I was talking about who's scared. Like, now Buster's the one to be really scared. And so to give Arthur his credit, which I absolutely hate to do because he's a whiny little bitch, to give Arthur his credit, he's proper like, no, come on, Buster, we've got to do it. And essentially, he, like, bullies him, really. Peer pressure makes him go to the carnival because he says that you've got to warn the other kids. We can't let – there's loads of little boys in there. We've got to warn them. So, you know, in their twisted, you know, wet version of the truth, they think they're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
They go to the carnival.
Yeah. And I've put, is there just a carnival all the time? Because it seems like we'll just go to the carnival as if it's always there.
I know, like, surely they would all know about the carnival, wouldn't they? They would.
It'd be like, the carnival's on this weekend. We need to do our homework to go to the carnival.
Surely it's a week. It's a weekday night. It's not a weekend.
So well, I don't know anymore. Who knows where we're at?
It is because Mr. Ratburn's expecting their homework for the next day. So it's a weekday evening, and yet the children are not at home having their tea. So Oh. Running around town, following teachers, going to a weekday night carnival.
Mm-hmm.
Unsupervised.
Completely unsupervised. Like, because what, we've got that they're in like year three or something, haven't they? Because they just moved into third grade, class.
Yeah.
So third grade for me, if I did like reception year one, year two, year three, that's like, is that like 7 or 8 maybe?
Yeah,
eight
that, on, that's yeah. The, Arthur's meant to be around 8 years old. So that's yeah.
quite young to go to a carnival, even with your best friend by yourself. Like that is huge, like getting abducted territory.
Exactly. Because we had this in the previous episode where Francine and Muffy go to the hair salon, the beauty salon on their own.
That's true, but Muffy is also rich.
Exactly. And that was more sort of hyper realistic, whereas this is a bit more concerning. It's not going to a place of business. It's going to a carnival.
Mm-hmm. Scary, scary carnival. And Buster exclaims, we're trapped at one point.
Yeah.
Because Ratburn walks through, I've put a crummy hall of mirrors.
It's really bad, isn't it?
It's really bad. Though probably hard to draw, but still really bad. Arthur goes, look, there he goes, come on. Then they go in the clown booth tent.
Yeah, which is just labelled clown booth.
Yeah, that's what I've written down.
They've got such a really, like, stereotypical view of what a carnival is. Like, of course, scary Mr. Ratburn with his decapitating children will be at the carnival. Mm-hmm. And, like, that's not what carnivals are in reality. Like, you know, they're really playing on the stereotypes of mm-hmm. creepy carnivals and creepy clowns and mm-hmm. tents and things. It's just isn't... It's a shame when it's a children's thing that they, you know, they rely so heavily on stereotypes like for gender and stuff like that as well. So,
oh yeah,
I was a bit disappointed. But then the clown booth turns out not to be a clown booth. I don't know about you, but I was a bit confused.
Yep, because I've put get shot in the face with water pistols.
Exactly. I wrote down, is this a French farce? Are we watching? Yeah. Like my little highbrow nod there.
You need to say that again.
What, French farce like Molière?
There we go. Yeah, because I think we missed the Molière part.
Yes, Molière like Tartuffe.
Perfect.
There you go. Yes, I did do A-level. It's all come back to me now.
All coming back. So they run then towards a different booth, which has a photo shoot in it, and I've just put why. And I think, is it the principal and the dinner lady?
Why is it Mr. Haney, the principal, and Mrs. McGrady,
yes.
the dinner lady? Why is she still dressed in a dinner lady outfit?
Well, if it's after school, maybe she didn't have time to get changed to go to her two jobs because both of them pay her shit money that she goes to be a dinner lady and a carnival host.
Exactly. Like, why has she got a booth which has a real horse in it? And Mr. Haney's dressed up as a cowboy riding on the horse. She's taking his picture. Just and both of them are alone.
Like, I got some very big, weird sexual vibes from this.
I know. I think that we should say as like headcanon, like that we think Mr. Haney and Mrs. McGrady are doing it.
Oh yeah.
Doing it after hours in the canteen. And let's see if that plays out as we watch later episodes.
Let's see. Arthur must have then run in and knock over a cactus. The horse, which I forgot was real until you said books. And I've put great action pose photo because it was a pretty damn good photo.
Yeah, it's very fast closing because they're just running around. All these little like vignettes, little things keep happening, all these little things.
But it's weird how it's never like that funny. Like, I know what you mean. It's all these little sort of funny stories, but it's not that funny.
Yeah, but Harriet, we're 30-odd-year-old women who have a high calibre for what's funny.
That's true. But I literally just subscribed to my 7 free days of Disney. Disney Plus, and oh my god, the cartoons. I just watched Lady and the Tramp. There are some adult jokes in Lady and the Tramp. Jesus, it's good stuff.
I mean, there's lots of weirdly uncomfortable things in Arthur and little things that look a bit sexy, but there's never any sort of adult jokes, is there? There's never sort of nods to us as adult watchers. It's very much aimed at the kids. And these kind of jokes, like getting squirted in the face with a water pistol.
Not for us, is it?
Not anymore. For us. We're not the target audience. Never mind. I was so annoyed all the time when we watch it. I would be reminded of the magical wonder that's Arthur. And actually, we're like, why is Arthur such an idiot?
Yeah.
Anyway.
I think we must have been in very bad places when we watched this and had no sort of... I didn't talk to anyone about it. I just sat in my room alone and sad at university watching this, being like, this makes me feel better.
So unfortunately for our podcast, Arthur doesn't really stand up to
critical
thought, does it?
Nope, it does not. Buster says, okay, I'll pick this time. And then there's a countdown, 1, 2, 3, and they run into another tent. Arthur says, run away. And Buster says, you're not safe. Oh, so they see they run into another tent. They see the crowd, don't they?
Yeah, exactly. And so it seems to me that everybody in Arthur's class Everyone's been given the invitation to what is about to happen. They all know the carnival's on. They've all turned up to be in the audience for this show. Apart from Arthur and Buster, who just run on stage and start screaming at the kids, like, get out of here.
Because I've put actual kids from their class and then George, question mark, because he's going to come into it at some point. And he's like the deer. And then I've put world's creepiest little boy puppet / marionette.
And a talking radio. I know. Whoever's drawing this and they had to create a character, a puppet, maybe in the script it says there's a talking puppet. Uh-huh. Why did they draw a talking radio? Like, it's meant to be like Jack and the Struggles or something. And it's a maybe it's an American thing. Maybe that's like something that they would know. I don't know.
Americans,
but
why are radios talking? Tell us now. And don't tell me it's linked to the Brave Little Toaster, because like that has already featured on another one of my favourite podcasts. And I love the Brave Little Toaster, and it cannot be to do with.
No, it's of weird, like, bastardized, creepy radio knockoff of the Brave Little Toaster, maybe.
No, don't ruin it for me.
No, it wasn't. It was just very random, wasn't it? Like, why would that even be a puppet? And the puppets are life-size, like, they're the same size as Arthur and Buster.
Very strange. So we figure out that it's, like, Jack and the Beanstalk, essentially, and they're, like, doing a theatre production, and there's kids laughing. For some reason I've put stand-up question mark. I think there's some like what you could maybe say are stand-up lines. Maybe Ratburn wanted to be a stand-up comic and realized it was not for him.
Yeah, exactly. He's really playing for laughs, isn't he? He knows how to work the audience. He's doing a really good job. So, you know, give him it's a creepy hobby. Like, I have put a lot of questions in, like, why is Mr. Ratburn making and doing puppet shows and making puppets? Like,
he's not Jim Henson, that's for sure.
No, exactly. And to me, there's something a little bit sinister about it. It's not. I can see why it's come about that he's kind of a creepy now at the end of this episode. Because at the start, I was like, oh, I totally date Mr. Ratburn. And can you imagine? I think like, this is a second date topic. He's a great guy. I would be like, oh my God, Harry, I bet this amazing man. He's so lovely. He's a really sweet primary school teacher. And then I'd be like, we had date two. And he said he like makes puppets. And he showed me his creepy boy puppets.
No, date two would be inviting you to the show. To the show. You'd be like, what's going on? And then he'd invite you back to his flat and you'd see all the creepy puppets in his like wardrobe hanging up. Like, yeah.
Oh my God, still wouldn't be the worst date I'd ever been on, so do you know?
Oh my God. Oh, it's too painful.
Anyway, so they find out the truth, which is that Mr. Ratburn obviously is not decapitating children for unknown purposes. He is building puppets, and so the Jack the Beanstalk puppet head falls off as part of the show and cracks, and he sort of talks to himself when he goes in the break and tries to fix the head, and so that's why he's like, oh no, I always need these boys' heads.
Yeah. So I don't know who was doing the radio's voice, but the radio says, Jack, you'd lose your head if it wasn't attached. And the puppet loses his head. And then I've put, here comes the giant, !! And then I've put giant legs, !! And then how, !! Because some giant legs come on stage, but there's only two puppeteers. So who's being the legs? The giant, like, so
maybe
many.
Maybe there's a third
like,
member of the little puppet team.
Oh, we'll have to include, I've drawn a broken puppet head. So that will have to go on
on the blog.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Oh, well, any sort of Arthur fan art, any podcast things you want to send our way, we'll stick it on the blog.
That would be great. We will tell you all the details at the end, so basically you have to listen to everything to know how to send us stuff. So.
Exactly. Look at us talking like our blog's got listeners. Do you know?
So I'm going to give a small shout out, which is the wrong time to do it, but I'm going to do it now because we play by no rules. Hi, Holly, who listened to my podcast. Hope you're doing okay.
Sorry,
I was going to say, I used to work with Holly at a college, we were both administrators, and she like randomly listened to this podcast and was like telling us how cool it was, and I was like, you listen to it?
That is so nice. Well, I'll give a shout out to Lisa, so because I know you listened last time, so hi Lisa, hope you're all right in your lockdown life, and hello Severity, who messaged me on Instagram to say she was gonna listen to our podcast too, so thank you very much. We have three whole listeners, hooray.
Thanks guys,
thank you. Okay, where are we up to now?
So yeah, I've drawn a picture of a cracked boy's head.
Yes.
Behind the scenes, Ratburn, I've just started calling him the rat in my notes. They always crack when I do the.
I'm laughing now.
I've just put rat for like this is what he says. They always crack when I do them. Oh, and then I've written things that I can't understand. They always crack when I do that closing head part. I have no idea what I've written. This is terrible. This is from months ago. 50 heads a year and then I've put question mark 50 shows. Isn't that a lot? Like, as if he'd be in that much demand.
Oh my god, you just sent me the picture that you've drawn. It's actually so amazing. It's so accurate.
Yeah, I thought I'd just send you that now so I don't forget. It's pretty good.
It's very good.
Oh, so Arthur and Buster finally figure out the boy's head's bit. Jesus Christ, that took such a long time. Yeah. Arthur and Buster say, "We didn't know you made puppets." And the Rat Burn says, "Can't talk, boys. I have 20 seconds to get Jack ready." So he's like switching heads at this part. I still think 50 heads a year is a lot. 50 shows, probably an over-exaggeration.
Yeah, that's actually one show, like, a week, isn't it? Like,
yeah, it is. You're right.
Carnivals are there, and he's got to do his full-time job as well. He can't be travelling with the carnivals.
So. Oh, he's definitely travelling with it. No. And then here's the bit that annoys me the most, maybe.
Yes.
But do you want to go first?
No, you say.
So Arthur says, like, "You do a lot" to Mr. Ratburn. And then he lists, like, a teacher, a coach, you run the school paper. And Arthur says, "I can't find time to do my homework and eat." And Mr. Ratburn says, you need to organise your time. Some people, I think, I give a lot of homework. And Arthur and Buster say, like, "No, never heard that." And then Mr. Ratburn says, "But once you've learned good work habits, you'll discover." And then I've put Ratburn does the puppet's voice too. I don't know what I'm writing at this point. This was done a long time ago. But basically, I feel like there's a work-life balance, and I feel like the Ratburn is saying you can put more into your time. And I do understand, like, the value of, like, yeah, learning time management and good time management. But also, I don't think you should, like, push yourself to, like, everyone is different. Like, I don't think really getting across that point. Everyone is different. You don't have to, like, you don't have to be productive to prove your worth. And maybe this is why we're such, like, ruined individuals now, because we watched Arthur and thought we need to do everything or else we'll be unworthy and die. When actually that's not the case. You don't have to do any of these things. You don't have to be a teacher. You don't have to coach. You don't have to do puppets. Like, whatever.
You should just live your life permanently. Like, we are living in lockdown, which is just eating, drinking heavily, sleeping a lot, lying
around,
wearing
the same clothes for 10 days.
Exactly. Thinking of all those crafty projects and, you know, creative things we're all going to produce, but not actually today, maybe in a few weeks.
Yeah, who knows? Whenever you feel like you can, or never, who cares?
It's just a very unnuanced, heavy-handed version of what a teacher is, isn't it? It's just,
oh, it is.
It's an older person giving some advice to some young people that's really not got any sort of, I don't know, it's just a very basic message, isn't it?
There's nothing there about, like, obviously Ratburn's got, like, his different pursuits, and that's good to have interests and hobbies, but like, there's nothing where he says to them about, like, being creative in their own right, or, like, obviously Arthur and Buster love comic books, like, where's the interest in that, or being like, you know, you can draw your own, or, like, you should read, but, like, where's that? It's just more about, like, you must be as productive as possible in the time that you're allowed. Like, that's not what I'm here for.
Well, to be fair, I mean, I'm not being as harsh about this because I am so irritated by Arthur, because Arthur was like, "I can't even find time to eat." And he's
when his parents make him his goddamn food, like, every meal,
exactly.
He's 8 years old.
He's so petty and so dramatic. And he's like, "I can't do anything because you give us so much homework. Oh my god, I don't have time to do anything." So I think Mr. Ratburn's got a point, because he's kind of trying to say, well, actually, if you mess around so much, you would be able to do something that you enjoy, like I enjoy puppetry or whatever. But I think you're right that you don't want him to overcorrect too far. You don't want to think, oh my god, I've got to do as much as Mr. Ratburn. I'm a failure. I have no work because I'm not doing it. But also, do something though, Arthur, please. Because then you wouldn't be so stupid to think that Mr. Ratburn was chopping off children's heads.
That's true. I've got something like a weird cat rolled my head into a litter box joke. So I guess he's maybe doing the puppet thing again. So Ratburn must come out with the puppet and make some stupid weird cat litter box joke. And then Mr. Ratburn says, "You're capable of more than you think. I'll show you how to do that homework and have time for things that you enjoy." And all I've put in red pen is lies, lies, lies.
In red pen. Who's the teacher now?
Oh no, so I write all my notes in like black pen and then watch it again and put red pen for like the important stuff that I need to, like, I'm very organized.
Good librarian. I love it.
But like, I don't, like, he's saying like he gives a lot of homework and they're saying, oh, I've never heard that. But also, like, it should all be equal, shouldn't it? Everyone should get the same amount of homework, or like the same amount that
there's a curriculum that I should follow and stuff like that. To me, it sounds like he's doing what he should do, and the other teachers are letting the children run around and sing songs and not do any work at all. So,
I mean, I did sing songs in year three and it was very enlightening, but never mind. Thank you, Mr. Cutting, for singing songs on the guitar.
We're obviously discovering what kind of teachers we would be as we go through.
Oh, it would be terrible.
I am so on Mr. Ratburn's side. I'm like, children, you're here to learn. Like, cracking the whip, and you're like, oh, we all need to, like, be who we want to be. Which I would like you to be my teacher, but I personally would be like, if we had children, you know, thank God at this time we don't, but if we were stuck inside having to do the homeschooling thing.
I would be one of those trouble people who's like, art all the time, we're just going to do art. And I would probably have the children that are like, fuck you, mum, I want to do maths. And I'm like, oh no.
You see, but I would have the other children. And to be fair, I would let them do their art and stuff, but I would also be like, no, 10 a.m. is maths time. And I'd be like, get the ruler and hit it against the table, like our teachers used to do. In a very corporal punishment kind of way.
I was trying to Google lyrics from songs that we'd sing with, like, Mr. Cutting, because I can't remember, because they were all old songs. But I'm sure we used to sing, do you know the song Right Said Fred?
I'm too sexy for my hat. That one.
No, this is staying in. It's like, Right Said Fred, both of us together. Da, da, da.
Oh, so it's called. So I thought you meant the singer, Right Said Fred, who sings I'm Too Sexy for My
Hat. Oh, no. Can you imagine singing that in year three? That's not allowed.
I thought it was like, do you remember there was a Fruitella advert?
Yes. And
it was
like, oh, that's such a good advert. Why did we like that so much? Too fruity
for my dog. Yeah. I thought maybe at school you were like singing a version like that.
We weren't doing that. We were singing this nice, wholesome version by Bernard Cribbins.
Oh, that is very wholesome. What a wholesome man. Oh.
We had a nice time. But now that you've made me think of Fruitella, A, I want some Fruitella, but I just can't go out and get some. No. And B, that Fruitella advert was probably not appropriate.
Yeah, because then when you're a little bit older, you find out what the real song is and you're like, oh.
Oh, no.
Or, you know, they're kind of saying the same thing, aren't they? But they're saying it in a suggestive manner.
anyway, Radburn goes on to say some blah 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 about self-discipline. Oh, important as to learn as 2 plus 2. Like, I feel like I get it, but Jesus, like, ugh.
I did think at this point, you know, the people who are making the program, maybe they get so far through the episode and they try and change things up a bit, because there's some really nice shots with like the POV and stuff, like you've got the perspective of Mr. Ratburn on the floor and you're looking up at Arthur and Buster. Like, they're trying more than they have so far to make it a little bit more interesting to us. When they were just drawing the librarian stomping around, they were like, Joe, who cares?
Yeah, that's true. Ugh. There's a head backwards joke, and I've just put, what's with this fucking radio? I really do not like this talking radio. Ratburn tells Arthur and Buster not to stand behind the scenes because he needs to concentrate. Arthur's, boy, were we wrong. And is it Buster or Ratburn says, I can't wait to see you, your geography. Oh, Ratburn must say, I can't wait to see your geography projects tomorrow. So that's what you were saying about school the next day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and it serves them right. I thought at the end, you know, they've spent all their time messing around. What I would have loved to have seen at the end is a cut to the next day and Francine has done her geography project.
Oh, yes.
And she's well rested and had time to enjoy her other activities in the evening. And Arthur and Buster spent so much time running around, behaving like headless chickens, that they couldn't do their geography project and they get told off by Mr. Ratburn.
So I think, like, when he says about the geography project tomorrow, that Arthur and Buster, like, do, like, a Macaulay Culkin-style scream and that's just how it ends.
Yeah.
Which I was like, that's so weird, but also, like, what?
Yeah, that's the end. Well, they found out the truth. And then it's, you know, yet another joke about how much they hate homework kind of thing, isn't it?
That's true.
And then that's the end.
That's it.
So normally at the end we do the best burn of the episode, but for me it's the lettuce head comment that Francine makes. I don't know if you agree or if you've got another one.
That's all I've written down.
Yeah. It was and this episode has got no DW and she is the queen of the burn. Does come in and muffy sometimes, and they've got some good burns in there. But when it's such an Arthur and Buster heavy episode, they're just kind of lame guys. Like, there's no banter, there's no sarcasm. They just fuel each other's idiocy. So it's hard to pick a best burn.
It was a good burn, but the only burn.
The only one. Yeah.
Oh, what about morals?
So, I thought that there's a weird message. You know, that point at which they're out with Francine and they say, should we go and do our homework or should we do horrifying, terrible danger?
Oh, yeah.
And I think there's a message in that they're trying to say to the audience, like, oh, your kids, we know you hate homework, but this is what it gets you if you don't do it. So it's trying to say to them, you know, I guess do your work, like Mr. Ratburn says at the end, like, balance your time, do your work, and then you can do the fun things. But if you go off on one, you won't be able to do it. It's a very convoluted message, but that's what I got out of it.
I put like time management question mark, self-discipline question mark, and then also just like depending what homework you get, and I'm still like this now, which really annoys me, but like nothing is ever perfect or good enough. Like, yeah, you could always make it better. What's more important is to learn when it's sort of done and there's a time to stop.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you get to have a balance. You do your work. When it reaches the level that's okay, it's fine, then go off and do your puppetry or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, and I also put like Ratburn is a real guy with interests and hobbies. Like, they've discovered that he's not just a teacher who sleeps in a cupboard like on weekends and like doesn't have a life outside school.
Yeah, that probably is like what they're going for, isn't it? That's the theme of the episode. That's the storyline. That's it, isn't it? Mr. Yeah. Ratburn is not just a scary teacher. He is a nice, multifaceted adult man.
Yeah. Whoop whoop.
There we go. So that was episode 2A.
Yep. And it was cool.
Looking back at my notebook. And that was episode 2A, Arthur and the Real Mr. Ratburn. Thank you everyone for listening. If you want to get in touch with us, especially because it's during lockdown, I'm assuming that you've got less on your plate right now. So if you want to get in touch, any ideas for any episodes, any comments or questions or anything like that, you can email us at whatawonderfulkindof@gmail.com, because What a Wonderful Kind of Day was already taken. And our website is whatawonderfulkindofday.com. And you can also follow us on Twitter at Snowball Mystery,
which will become clear in due course. You can find us in multiple places. You can listen to us. We are currently on Podbean. I'm going to get up off my butt and make sure we're on Spotify, maybe Apple. I'm not a big fan. Sorry, Apple. But you can find lots of information there and on our website. And just want to give a shout out to North On Out, who did our logo and our intro and outro tunes. You can find them on Instagram at North_or_Nout, N-O-W-T. And that's it from us.
Exactly. Maybe it's worth saying that in these terrible times, we hope you all are staying as sane as you possibly can and as safe as you can. And it's worth supporting like local independent artists at this time. Not like us, because, you know, we're actually gainfully employed.
Oh, yeah, we're both fine. Don't give us money. Give that to other people. Especially like, I think we need to, I can't think of like specific charities to shout out. But people maybe like Shelter or anyone who's working with women or children who are abused by people would probably be good places to put your money.
Exactly. And there's loads of sort of like live podcast things currently going on where you can donate to the NHS or to the actual like comedians and artists and things who are struggling at the moment. So there you go. Lovely. And if you're listening at this in the future when that isn't happening, then hey, still support your local independent creative people.
All this still exists. And like, I would definitely say support the NHS, but also just harass the government to support the NHS, because really I hope if you're listening to this and not paying taxes and you're like really rich, like, this isn't for you, I'm afraid. I'm sorry, you're banned.
No, we hate you. Fuck off.
We hate you.
Please don't put like.
Oh no, this is definitely going in. We don't want rich arseholes listening. We just want people who pay their goddamn taxes.
No, we don't. Unless they want to sponsor us. So if you are the head of Heineken or the head of Specsavers, then please do get in touch.
And also pay your goddamn taxes.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, well, there we go. Thank you for listening, everybody. We'll see you next time. Bye.
What a wonderful kind of day. What a wonderful kind of day. What a wonderful kind of day.